So open up to Matthew chapter 5, put a marker in Philippians chapter 2, and actually hold your place in Matthew. Let's go to Philippians first, because we were there this morning. In Philippians 2:13, one of the verses that we used this morning talking about the title of that message was Honor the God Who Walks in You. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Are you getting more aware that the God Himself walks in you? I will walk in them. I will be their God. Most of the time, if people just listen to our conversations, they'd wonder if we had any God at all, much less a God who walks in us. And He says, He's talking to me, because that's the deal. He talks to me, and I talk to you. So it's time to start. You need to honor the God who walks in you. Well, that brings us to this verse here in Philippians 2. Look at verse 13. We mentioned this one this morning. But I don't want to just teach. I want us to go to the point where we do. See, yes, continue. Like Alan said, we're all in the process of mortification. And I hate to tell you this part. You're probably going to be in that process till Jesus comes. Or until you go to be with Him. I mean, I don't think that's really going to end. So it's not like we wait until we're perfect before we begin to do. We do while we do the message. We mortify while we empty the wheelchairs. Okay, you see what I'm saying? All right. But now this verse for Philippians 2:13, say it with me again. God walks in me. I have the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost walks in me. Everywhere I go, God goes. When I walk into the room, light walks into the room, and darkness flees. The gates of hell do not prevail against me. I kick them down in Jesus' name. And I set the captives free. Right? That's where we're going now. And I mean it in a practical way, not just a doctrine way. I love doctrine. But doctrine, let's just say it this way. So, do you believe good doctrine? Somebody might say yes. Well, I'm not sure. I'll have to follow you around, because what you are is not what you believe. What you are is what you do. Got way less amens on that part. You are what you do. Okay? Now, we're in the process of renewing the mind, so our doing changes. Okay? All right. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. See, this God is walking in us for a purpose. He's working in us. Remember that great exchange? He told me it is the perfect exchange. We are seated together in Christ in the heavenlies at the right hand of God. But the exchange is Christ Himself is walking in us here on earth. All at the same time. It is God which worketh, notice, in you. Both means there's two things He's doing. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's Him that's even giving you the will. When you walk by somebody, the more you're into this, you walk by somebody in a wheelchair, you walk by some cripple, you walk by, especially, Alan mentioned the children's hospital. I don't know if I can survive it. Right now, we're doing an earthly thing that we can do to help. We send a little money every month to St. Jude's, because they don't charge, you know. You can bring your child, whether you have money, whether you don't have money. And they're going to do what they can. And I thank God for anybody in the natural that's doing anything to fight disease. Thank God for them. But that's really our job. We're supposed to set those captives free. If you can't set... if His compassion doesn't move in you, when you see a little bald child with a brain tumor, telling you, we are going to bring the light of the gospel to that child. And I mean all of them. And I don't care if every person at every hospital has to get a new job. God is Jehovah Jireh. You'll provide it. Amen. Did you know that there was a season in Washington, Spokane, where they literally shut down the local hospital that was close to the healing rooms. That hospital in that part of town closed because there were no customers. Closed. After John G. Lake moved that to Oregon and started there, then after a few years, it came back. But how about that for an impact? Amen? All right, so this verse again. It is God which worketh in you, both to will, it's Him putting that desire in you, and to do. See, we got to understand, the same God that puts the will, the desire, is the same God who will perform the work. That's why this morning we looked at what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And He said it twice in two consecutive verses. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Sometimes when I meditate that, it's like His face to face with Him. It's like, do you going to believe me or not? I'm telling you I will do it, Gary. But we hesitate, and that's really tonight. See, we can know all of these things and rejoice. And I mean, I had a good time this morning, but until it comes down to us laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, we're not there yet. Amen? So let's look at this a little more. So now, we're coming back to Philippians 2. I'm going to put my marker there myself. Go over to Matthew 5. We'll pick it up here in verse 14. Red letters in my Bible. By the way, this is the very passage, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of the very passages that the radical grace preachers say you don't have to pay attention to anymore. God help them. I hope they avoid hell. God help them. I pray they do avoid hell. For telling believers that they don't have to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, He says, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, first off, Jesus said about Himself, He is the light of the world. As long as I'm with you, I am the light of the world. But you got to remember, in Luke 16:16, He says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Well, since that time, meaning the day that He was baptized and anointed by the Holy Ghost, from that point on, He's not been teaching the law. He's not really been teaching the prophets. Even though these people will not be born again for about 3 more years, He is already teaching as if they were. And He's teaching the principles of the kingdom. It's like we were already sitting in that classroom. You hear me? He's preaching to us. It's the exact opposite of what the radical grace preachers are saying. He is preaching to us. If anybody should ever hear and obey these words, it's us. Because He's preaching the kingdom of God. So, yes, He is the light of the world, but He's preaching to you. And He's saying, you are the light of the world. And a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. In other words, you put that light up. Don't hide it somewhere. What's the purpose of a light if you're going to cover it with a bushel? What good is that? Well, my religion is private. Get a different religion. You know? He didn't say it's private. You know, no, put it on the candlestick where the whole world can see. And I'm going to tell you right now, I sang that song just like every other child, and I have fond memories of it too. Let your little light shine. Honey, you don't have no little light. You got the light of God on the inside of you. You have got a great light. Let my big light shine. Hallelujah. But He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Why? So it can give light unto all that are in the house. You should be different. There should be difference coming out of you. That's what drew me to the gospel in the first place. This Michael Muccio guy come in my office there, and I hired him to teach prosperity to my agents, which was crazy because, he had holy shoes. I know because I could see holes in both of them as he walked away. He didn't have any prosperity. I had prosperity, but I hired him anyway. And Sue asked me later, why did you do that? I said, that guy's got something I need. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out. I didn't know it was the life of Christ on the inside of him drawing me to the light. He had a light, and it was drawing me. See, you got a light. Smith Wigglesworth had a light. Get on the train, just sitting there, not preaching, not doing nothing. And the light that was in him, sinners, pretty soon they'd be, one guy got out of his chair, he'd come knelt, and he says, sir, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? He ain't got to the verse yet. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. See, my religion's private. No, let your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, what are the good works? Let me show you what they're not. Go to flip over one chapter, Matthew 6, 4. And actually, we'll just start in 6, 1. Here is what your, when he says the works, let your works be seen. He's not talking about these works. And this is what most religion, people that want to be esteemed of men, this is what they let people see. It says, take heed that you not your alms, that's giving, do not... Be careful that you do not your giving before men to be seen of them. So one of the works he's talking about here is sure not your giving. That's not the work you're supposed to let other people see. Yet that's what the Pharisees hear. They'd blow a trumpet. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da. I'm about to give in the offering. Dun, da, da, dun, da, 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 you know. How about verse 5? But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. What's the purpose of their prayer? That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when he says, let your works be seen before men, he's not talking about giving and he's not talking about praying. Now here, you're going to be seen because we have prayer times. Okay. But that's where we're just coming together to make corporate intercession. If you're coming down here to have a badge of prayer on your chest to be seen of men, you will keep coming because God will purge you of that. I remember Dave one time, and somebody asked him, he says, I'm having trouble getting my children, I'm having trouble getting them to pray, you know. Would it be okay if I paid them by the hour to pray? And Dave said, well, sure, it'll work. Right now, they're doing it for the love of money. But if you'll get them praying consistently in the Holy Ghost will purge them of the love of money, and then they'll do it for free. They'll do it because it's in their heart to do it. Amen? All right. Let's come down to the next one. So we've already eliminated. He's not talking about giving. That's not the works to be seen. And he's not talking about praying. That's not the work to be seen. Now, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast. Notice it's not the if you. It's the when you. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now the point I'm making, when he says, let your light shine, he's not talking about religious things. What I mean is things that man would go, oh. Now, man, that Mike from Minnesota. Man, that guy, he fasts. He blows it. I know he gives because he blows a trumpet. He had guys. He's praying every time. He's praying you. Hey, if you're doing it to be seen of men, that's your reward right there. That is not what Jesus meant back there when he says, let your light shine. Amen? All right. What is he talking about? Go back to Philippians 2. We're going to read a little farther. And then we're going to back up. And then we're going to digest it. Philippians 2, starting in verse 13 again. Okay, who is the light? Is it you? Or is it the God in you? It's the God in you. So we're going to let him do his thing. We're going to let God shine from within us. Got it? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now here it is. Among whom you, what? Shine as lights in the world. Let's bring this all in context. If you come back to chapter 1, remember how Dave teaches us about holy, these small books, you just should meditate the whole book. Paul is the one writing here. Let's see how he let his light shine. Back up into chapter 1, look at verse 21. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Isn't that another way of saying the light of Christ is going to shine from my physical flesh? Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. Now here, what a statement. Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is letting your light shine. Jesus said about himself, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Paul is actually saying, if you have seen me, for me to live, well, that is Christ. If you've seen me, you've seen Christ. That's letting your light shine. If anybody ever let their light shine, would you say it was Jesus? How did he do that? How did he come to the place where he could let God so shine through him that we're still all these thousands of years later? He's the mark. He is the standard. He is the pinnacle. Amen? All right? Going over to chapter 2 now. If we had time, I'd love to go through verse by verse, but you don't want to be here that late. But going into chapter 2, let's start in verse 3 now. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, what's the subject? Lowliness of mind. Your light, the way up in the kingdom of God is the way down. You understand that? To be promoted, you take the lowest seat. It's always that way. Okay? How did Jesus, who his light shined brighter than anybody, I mean, the Father so shined through him that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How did he get that way? He's telling you right here. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Now, the subject here is lowliness of mind. Do everything through lowliness of mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now let's stop right there for a moment. This is before he was incarnated. And the reason I say that, you'll see in the next verse, he took upon himself the form of a man. Okay? But here he is in heaven even. And he's equal with God. He is God. And he's equal with God. But I want to bring out another aspect. Do you remember when the Pharisees wanted to kill him one time? Well, all he had said was, I and my Father are one. And because he called God his Father, they said, you are making yourself equal with God. Now, he said that as a man. I and my Father are one. He said that as a man with the life of God. You could say the same thing. I and my Father are one. Amen? And they said, well, you're making yourself equal with God. Well, there is a truth to that. Even, we're not divinity. We're not going to be divinity. Okay? But God is your Father. And you're his child. And you're in his family. Okay? So, and to a large extent, you could have the same mind in you. I'm God's child. Jesus is my elder brother in his humanity. Not his divinity, but in his humanity. He is my elder brother. As he is, so am I in this world. We could all think along those lines, right? Some people have thought along those lines and got off into a ditch of pride. Well, I got to have the best of everything. If I'm going to come into your meeting, I need a $50,000 retainer. I need sparkling water. I need a servant on 24-hour call in case I need ice cream at 3 in the morning. I mean, really. Y'all have seen Dave brought out some pictures of how John Alexander Dowie finished. It wasn't really good. You know, he had those robes made for himself and a crown. And anyway, it didn't end well. I don't want to just begin well. I want to end well. Amen? I want to end well. I thank God for Dowie. I'm not mocking. I'm so grateful. He launched more through his ministry. Most of the great Pentecostal ministries of all time were launched through him, even though he fought against it personally. But anyway, that's another story. Verse 5, I'm preaching too much and not teaching enough. How are you going to let your light shine? You're going to have to let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, all right. You're making yourself equal with God. I'm just telling you the truth. God is my Father. Okay? But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Did he do that for his benefit or for our benefit? Did he do it to exalt himself, or did he do it because it was the will of the Father? Will of the Father, see. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, when it says being found in fashion as a man, here is a man with the life of God on the inside of him. You are a man of the species of man with the life of God on the inside of you. He is our prototype. Now, what did he do? He says, we should let our light shine. He's the one that we follow. How did he let his light shine? Well, he's got that life of God. You know, he could have gone around. This is so out of character for Jesus. He could have gone around just being full of pride and I'm the only one. Now, he did tell him the truth. You're of your father, the devil. You know, he told him the truth, but he was just trying to get him to repent of their sins. He's going, unless you believe, and not just that, but believe he was who he says. Unless you believe I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He was trying to rescue them, see. But he didn't go around prideful. No, look what it says. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Well, that's pretty doggone obedient, okay? Even the death of the cross. Now, what did he say to us? If you're going to follow me, what if I said it this way? If you're going to let your light shine, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. That's why we continue to teach mortification. Okay? But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me ask you again. Did Jesus let his light shine? He did it by humbling himself through lowliness of mind, hearing the direction of the Father, and becoming obedient to that direction, even all the way to the death of the cross. That's how he did it. Another should, in my Bible, there's a paragraph heading here, like there's a change of subject. There is no change of subject. Look at verse 12. Wherefore? Meaning, based on everything I just said. He just got through saying, in lowliness of mind, have the same mind in you. Even though he was equal with God, Christ humbled himself to obedience. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always what? Obeyed. You want to let your light shine? You're going to have to obey. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, I don't know, but you do know you're not the Lamb. He had a mission from God to be the sacrifice, to be the Lamb on the cross. Okay? Now, the overall mission was to seek and to save the lost, and we're on that same mission. But your function is not to die on a cross as the Lamb. That job's already been taken. We're not qualified anyway. Okay? But we do have something from God to do. Work out your own salvation means you got to find out what God wants you to do. You got to find it out. And as you do, it may not always be pleasant. Was the cross pleasant? Well, whatever it is he's having you do, it may not be pleasant to the flesh. Now I'm going to get real specific here in a minute. Because we're let your light shine. Okay? Now look at it again. Verse 12. As you have always obeyed. He just got through talking about Jesus being obedient. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, your path with God, with fear and trembling. Have respect for God. Amen? Honor the God who walks in you. Now, here we come to that verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. Now, let's stop right there at the will. You're going into Walmart. Or whatever store you like. And you come in, there's somebody in a wheelchair right there. Now you may or may not notice, but if there's a will that comes up on the inside of you, boy, I should lay my hands on that person and tell them in the name of Jesus that he loves them, that he's alive and that he'll heal them. I ought to do that. Where do you think that will come from? You think that will came from your flesh? Do you think that inspiration, that thought is coming from your flesh? It is God in you first to will of his good pleasure. Now the next part, see, I can't even tell you the number of times that will has come up in me. And Gary, what did you do most of the time? I went right on and got my groceries. I throw a prayer back at him as I'm going by. Lord, send somebody to help that person, you know. Bless him, Lord. But he's bringing us to the place now. See, the word witness in Greek is martyr. And in a way, when you humble yourself and go over there, and it's the Lord hits it, you know, he can will all he wants to in you, but he can't do any work until you obey. Boy, that was real good right there. Did you get that? He just took away all my messing around and just said it, didn't he? See? He wants to will and to work. But he can't do the work unless we obey. And when you obey, it is like a martyr. You're like risking everything. Because part of you goes, well, what if it don't work? I'll look like an idiot. And there's more than that. It's like, I like what Alan said today. Because if it don't work, if you pray and nothing happens, you need to let them know it's not their fault. It's not their fault. I think that was good, see? You know, Say, hey, I'm in training myself. You hang around here, I'll be back. We'll get you out of that chair the next time. I don't know. But if it ain't working, then we need to do something until it is working. Because we need to honor the God who walks in us. Look, isn't it in your Bible? Look at verse 13. It is God, the same God walking in you. The one that says, if you ask, I will do it. See, the problem is not on God's end. The problem is on our end. Do we believe what he said or not? So that will that comes up, I know that will's not coming up out of my flesh to go lay my hands on that person. That's coming directly from the will of my Father. But there will be no work unless I humble myself to obey. And it is kind of a death when you do that. You're risking everything, really. You could look like a fool. They may even get, some people get mad at you because they got prayed for by some other person or something. You know, they just don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you, our light is God. When you say, let your light shine, God is light. Okay? It's him putting that will in us, and it's him wanting to do the work. And I believe best God, if we obey, I believe he will. And the reason I say that, he said he would. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And again, Mark 16, right at the end, it says, they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following, which really is signs accompanying right then. Okay? We've had this mind of, and we say, I know we have because we write songs and sing songs like, pour, send down your glory. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. The problem of it is, Jesus said, he that believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. He's not going to rain down on you. He's going to flow out of you. Rivers of living water. So you got a well on the inside of you that springs up to everlasting life. That's salvation. That's for you. But there's a river running out of you. And that river is for the world. That river is the life of God. My Bible said it is God who puts the will in me, and it's God who's doing the work in me. And it's about time I honored that God. My problem is obeying. Jesus obeyed the Father all the way to the death. You don't obey any farther than that. All the way to the death of the cross. And God highly exalted him. And he says, now it's your turn to obey. And he's really talking about obeying the Father. From the inside. Yes, sir. Now, he's going to bring a balance, previews of coming messages. You know, I'm the one that he gave me an assignment to teach people how to wait on God. And they've read what's at my website, and it's good. It's still valid. You need to wait on God. Get his mind. Find out we need to spend. But people have taken something, they've taken that, and they've added something to it that I did not say and that he did not say. See, that doesn't mean, while you're waiting on God, do nothing. It doesn't say that. While you're waiting on God, do nothing. No. James. You see your brother destitute of daily food. They don't have any food. And you just walk on by. Say, I'm waiting on God. I know you're starving to death. I see your little kids with their little hungry bellies. But I'm just going to walk on by. I'm going to go back to prayer and fasting and wait on God. See, you don't need to wait on God on that. You've already got the word for that. Feed the hungry. Isn't that right? See, when you are still a doer of the word while you are waiting on God concerning your lifetime ministry. Doesn't relieve us from being doers of the word. Well, doers of the word lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And it's a sign to the unbeliever so they can hear the gospel and be saved. Amen? This is how you let your light shine. That, yes, sir. Okay, here he comes again. Until you humble yourself to his will. Look at that verse again. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He puts the will in you, but there is no working from him until you obey. You got that? And there's also no light shining until you obey. Now get this picture, the God that walks in you. Here we go, I'm walking into Walmart. There's God walking in you. Maybe that person is an atheist. Maybe that person is a Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. God's after him. And he's walking in you. What do you think? He's going to walk in and walk on by? You think that's his will? When he told us to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, a woman loses a coin, just one coin. Man, she'll sweep the house, move the furniture, and call her friends till she finds that coin. The shepherd loses a sheep. He's got 99 others. Man, he'll leave the 99 and go after that one. Do we think the God in us is going to, the God that walks in us intends for us to walk on by? Do you think that's his will? I don't think so. Now, yes, we're mortifying, praying, fasting, doing all of the things that keep working on the flesh and waiting on God. I'm going to teach some on the balance here of that coming up soon. Sure, I'm still waiting on God with our ministry. We kind of come to a plateau right now. Nothing has really changed in the ministry in a while. From experience, I know, because he's not done yet. So I got to seek God for what there was a time when it was all cassettes. And from the time somebody ordered now this is waiting on God. See, I got instructions from him. I mean, that was fine, you know, but he says, from the time that they ask for a cassette in Africa, how long is it till they get that message? And I got to counting it up. Sometimes it might be 2 weeks to 6 weeks, depending on what country they were in. He says, when you want a drink of water, how soon do you want it? Well, I want it right now. And he began to talk to us about digitizing, putting the messages in MP3, getting them on the internet. He says, what you preach in the morning, I want heard in Zimbabwe that night. See, all of that came through waiting on God. But that did not alleviate me from praying for the sick, casting out devils, feeding the poor. Here's another one, waiting on God. See, you can go crazy. You can become a legalist and try and do every jot and tittle. Well, you know, there's a lot of poor people dying, really without food probably in Tulsa tonight. Well, is he holding me personally accountable for every one of those? Here's what he told me. You can like it or not like it, but I know it was him. He said, son, I am not going to hold you accountable for every poor person on earth. But I am going to hold you accountable for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. Got that? That's pretty plain. You know what that means. Every Lazarus he lays at my gate, I need to humble myself and obey. Amen? And some. Now that's why, see, verse 14, going a little farther, that process, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, I'll do it, but I ain't happy about it. Why do I have to give my money to them? One time he had us late at night, long time ago, had us late at night, like 11 o'clock at night. I was getting ready for bed, and he started talking to us. We had to get redressed. He put us in mind of a family that lived in, a good half hour drive at least. And he said, I want you to gather up food and groceries. I want you to go to their house. I want you to do it right now, which is really strange. I did call them because it was getting late. They said, well, come on over, you know. We drive up. Their house is twice as big as ours. I'd never been there before. Really nice house. Car in the driveway, a lot better than our car. We're walking into this really nice place, and I'm going, maybe I didn't hear God. Because we're carrying in sacks of groceries. We're carrying them in, and the wife begins to, tears begin to come. We opened up those cabinets. I have never seen, except in an empty house, you know, like nobody lived in, I have never seen cabinets so empty. They had nothing. In the refrigerator, there was some butter, you know. And here we come in with a ham and beans and cans of stuff and bread and all this. She didn't start putting it up first. She started getting stuff and fired up the stove, and she's fixing food for the kids. They had two children. Now, it's not always real pleasant at 11 o'clock at night to gather up groceries and drive across town to a house that's way nicer than yours. And they got a car a lot nicer than yours. But see, God knows what's going on. We only judge by what we see. God does not like it when kids go to bed hungry. I'm telling you, he does not like it. Now, you can do that with joy, or you can do it full of murmurings, complaining, disputings. He says, don't be like that. When God gives you an assignment, just obey. Just obey quickly and quietly. See? Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, that was just a little light of sharing something that we had. Okay, just sharing something that we had. Well, Peter said, I have something. The guy was asking for money. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus. That's where he's calling us now. In the name of Jesus. Something you have. You got a light on the inside of you. It is a big light. God is in there inside of you. He is walking in you. That is his will, putting those desires in you. But he cannot work unless we obey. That light will not shine unless we humble ourselves and become his witness and let his work be accomplished through us. Let your light shine. Let your light shine, people, even while we're continuing in mortification and mortification and edification. Did you get that? Yeah. Y'all are so quiet. It's a little bit scary. That's why to witness, the word is martyr. Doesn't mean they're going to kill you. They may yell at you, scream at you. You may feel like a fool. That's laying your life down. That is humbling yourself so that the Father can work through you. Amen? All right, we're going to go ahead and start the confessions now. I'm going to have to get somebody that can sing to rewrite that song. You know, we don't have this little light of mine. How about this big old fat light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. Big old fat light of mine. But I don't know how we're going to say it yet. Somebody. You got a big light. We're the light of the world. Say it with me. Jesus said, he is the light of the world. But he said to me that I am the light of the world. He didn't put that light in me to be hid. He put that light in me to shine. It's God that lives in me. God that walks in me. It's God that gives me his will. And when I obey, it's God that does the work. And I'm going to let that light shine. In Jesus' name. Amen.